In the movie Mogul Mowgli, Riz Ahmed blurs the line between fiction and autobiography. He stars as Zed, an on-the-rise rapper whose biggest gig yet is threatened by the sudden onset of an illness. He's also forced to confront his own insecurities about his family and British-Pakistani identity. Ahmed co-wrote the movie along with director Bassam Tariq, and the result is a compelling and surprising story that dances between realism and fantasy. I'm Aisha Harris, and today we're talking about Mogul Mowgli on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. Joining me today from Toronto is culture writer and panelist on the CBC's Pop Chat, Emil Niazi. Welcome, Emil.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm very excited to talk with you about this movie. Mogul Mowgli stars Riz Ahmed as Zed, a British rapper who's just booked his first world tour as an opener for a major artist. But before the tour can even begin, he's suddenly struck by a disease that affects his muscles and leaves him unable to walk. Now, if this sounds a lot like Sound of Metal, well, there are some definite similarities here. That was an indie film in which Ahmed played a musician facing a crossroads after he loses most of his hearing. But Mogul Mowgli feels like a different movie in many ways, especially because it's also dealing with the traumas of political and familial history, and it plays with more abstract forms of storytelling. This is the first narrative feature from director and co-writer Bassam Tariq, and he's directing the new iteration of Blade for Marvel. The cast also includes Ali Khan and Sada Bachar as Zed's parents Bashir and Nazra, and Naban Rizwan as Zed's younger artistic rival, RPG. Mogul Mowgli is now available to rent or buy on demand. So, Emil, I'm curious to hear how you feel about this movie, but also how you feel about Riz Ahmed in general, because in many ways, this is a sort of semi-autobiographical story. He's drawing from his own life, his own feelings about his background and the way he's connected with his family. And he's also a rapper. So I'm curious as to how you felt going into this film and what you took away from it.
Yeah, I mean, two big questions for sure. In approaching the film, I was also expecting something close to Sound of Metal, but what you get instead is something that's so intimate and personal. It's almost uncomfortable. If you know anything about Riz Ahmed's past, you know, if you know him as a poet and a rapper and someone who very publicly struggles with identity and art, then it really felt like a love letter to his family, to his fans, to his people. I just thought it was a very, very personal and intimate portrayal. And so that sort of caught me off guard. I really enjoyed the film. I thought it was almost not even plot driven, even though there is a very clear, succinct plot, but it's much more atmospheric mm-hmm. in its sort of storytelling. And I thought that was really interesting. But, you know, it sort of unearths more questions than it answers at times, was sort of how I felt about some of the themes of identity and diaspora and, you know, what it means to be somewhere in between your homeland and your adopted land. And immigrant identity. I there were times when I thought there's another movie underneath this movie that I also really want to watch, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I have that sense too. And, you know, part of it stems from the things that I don't necessarily know that he's drawing from. Like, I, of course, know about the partition between India and Pakistan. And I've seen other stories told sort of about this, not in, I think, as nearly as interesting ways as this movie is trying to do. But there were, I think with this film, unlike something like Sound of Metal, there's like a higher bar of like knowledge for like an entry point to really understanding a lot of it. You know, I was watching it at home, so I was able to pause sometimes and be like, I feel like I should probably Google this. Mm-hmm. That didn't stop me from enjoying it, but I do think it stopped me from really being able to immerse myself in it the way that I wanted to. Part of that is my own fault. but I also think, I wonder if there were ways to tell this story a little bit more clearly in some respects for viewers. But I just feel conflicted about that because I hate when stories tell too much and don't show. And so it's like, where do you fall on that? And I think that for viewers, I think people like myself will probably struggle with it, but I do hope that they keep with it because I do think even though there were parts of it that I couldn't get, there was so much that I could understand and that I could relate to and that I felt was going beyond just the typical sort of immigrant story. And I especially really appreciated the fact that there is this sort of through line of him wrestling with his family, but also wrestling with the possibility of not being able to create his own family, or at least the biological family that he wants. I don't think it's a spoiler to say when he gets this illness, he runs the risk of possibly becoming infertile. And I'm trying to think of how many stories we've seen where the man is the one who's wrestling with that. And so I really liked that and thought aspects of that were really interesting to see it being told from the perspective of the Riz Ahmed character and also his father, who's very much like, you're having children. And it's like, whoa, this is a lot. So I really liked it. And I'm curious, when you say that you feel like there's another movie under this that you would have liked to see, like, what would that have looked like for you?
Well, just going back to the very interesting point that you raised about who do we make art for, and, you know, over explaining certain aspects of South Asian identity and history. You know, I actually been having a lot of these conversations with South Asian creators in the last little while about, you know, when we make something or we put something in our film or TV that's just for us, and how much you should explain it for audiences, or is it not wonderful to encounter something, be confused by it, and then look it up and suddenly know more? Mm-hmm. So I think that point that you've raised is so interesting. But sort of leaping off of that, I think there could have been a little bit more connecting us to who his parents were and why he was so conflicted about going back. Like, of course, we understand, I think a lot of people know that, you know, within any kind of immigrant family, there's traditions and mythologies and ways of being that can feel constricting and heavy for the next generation. So it's not surprising, perhaps, that he struggled to go home or struggled to connect to his family, even though he's very vulnerable when he does start to become ill. But there was so much about his father's history and leaving what was then India for Pakistan because of partition, so much about his mother and what, you know, I just thought there were a lot of layers and connections that were worth investigating and interrogating that it never quite did. It did at times then leave you feeling like you didn't quite understand Zed as much as you wanted to.
Right.
And I think, you know, obviously it's a creative choice to lean more into that atmosphere, to lean more into some of those interesting visuals, you know, and I like those choices. I like the sort of the dance element that was there, leaning heavy into the music and the poetry and the rap. But you then in turn did sacrifice some linear plot. And I did feel like, well, that's a movie I want to watch too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder if that kind of contributes in a way, inadvertently, to like a sort of more generic immigrant tale in a way that sort of flattens it and doesn't give that sort of very, very personal note. Well, I do think that especially his relationship with his father is very, very interesting. And I think the last scene of the movie, I was just like, it's just such a really touching moment between father and son that I really, really loved. I did, like you, kind of feel as though the parents felt as sort of like a mystery in a way that didn't necessarily serve the story. So you have like two sort of competing stories going on here. You have his connection to his family and him struggling with that. But then there's also this very interesting dynamic where he's struggling with himself as an artist and what that means and what it means to sort of have this artistic persona that is in some ways assimilating to a certain kind of culture and also appropriating Black culture in many ways. And he even addresses that, which I thought was really interesting. For those who aren't familiar with Riz Ahmed's work as a rapper, is that something he's also dealing with in his own music outside of this film that you've seen?
I agree with you that some of the tropes around the identity stuff did appear to be generic immigrant story. But where we really got, I think, a peek into Riz Ahmed, the person, was through his struggles as an artist in this film. And I think that that is perhaps the most personal, most vulnerable parts of this story that he was really involved in. And I sort of looked to some of the lyrics that he raps in the film. So, you know, he says, to be the man I wish existed when I was a fan then.
The man them to be the man I wish existed when I was a fan then. from a family that I won't really understand it. For the kids will never have to be prouder of their dad, and I'm no wanker. A puppy's for summer. Yeah? My aunt's for all time.
He feels this pressure and this weight to be a role model, to be someone that a younger brown kid can see and identify with and want to be. Mm. And I think that certainly through, you know, his advocacy for Muslims, the filmmaking that he aspires to do, that's clearly, you know, something that he cares about, Riz the human and Zed the character. My poppy's for summer, my art's for all time. I ain't got roots to put down, I'm pulling the weeds up.
I ain't got roots to put down, I'm pulling the weeds up. A poppy's just a weed. I'm growing, don't need love.
You know, it's the struggle to define himself through his art, but also the pressure to be more than just an artist, the pressure to be a figurehead for your community, the pressure to be someone that people can aspire to be like. And I think that push and pull is really interesting and reflective of who Riz Ahmed is as an artist and as an advocate. Again, you sort of never quite get how that manifests, because it's also quite selfish, right? He's struggling with it, but he's also interested in going on tour to be known. And I think that's interesting. His manager confronts him at one point and says, you know, you clearly are too sick to go on tour. So this younger, also South Asian rapper is going to take your place. Right. And, you know, Zed's really struggling with that. And she sort of reminds him, but, you know, he is like us and he's still going to get the message out. The message being, you know, of course, about identity and claiming a space, you know, for South Asians in this medium.
Everyone's worried about you, man. Always talking about paving the way for other people. RPG is one of us. He's telling our story too.
You can see that he's not as interested in the message as he sort of portrays himself to be, because, right, you know, it becomes about that's his space that someone's taking. And I think that's really interesting and something that's very honest, right? Because if you espouse that it's just about pulling people up and making room for all immigrants or marginalized people to have the spotlight, when it's not your turn in the spotlight, how do you react in the face of that? How do you act then? And so that I thought was really interesting too, in terms of who Riz might be and revealing perhaps a little bit of his own struggle there.
Yeah, that entire dynamic between the Zed character and RPG is really interesting. And I love the point that you make about the fact that he's both this person who wants to be the figurehead, but is also very much, there's an ego there. Like, mm-hmm, you have to have some sort of ego when you are an artist, especially when you are a rapper. That is just part of the game. And it's interesting to me that they made the RPG character kind of silly. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of like this younger rapper who isn't necessarily saying the most like interesting or thoughtful things. He's not like a quote unquote conscious rapper, but he's, mm-hmm, very popular. And he is also representing in a way. And so it's like, mm-hmm, very interesting to see the way in which you have like those different times of like both respectability, politics going on there, and also just like generational divide there. And I thought that was really fascinating to see.
You know, it's not a new dynamic. The groundbreaker who has to fit a certain mold, and then the young upstart behind him who kind of gets to do away with all of those preconceived notions of what you have to be to make it.
Yeah.
But it also made me think about, and you mentioned it, the kind of dream sequence where he's in a rap battle, where he's wearing the hospital gown, right, and another rapper, a black rapper, is sort of like having a go at him. And then when it's his turn on the mic, he says something about, you know, calling me an immigrant, haven't you seen your own skin pigment?
Yo, you're so ignorant, calling me an immigrant. Haven't you seen your own skin pigment? We should be in it together.
Knows he's said something wrong. You're not quite sure he knows exactly how wrong he is. Mm-hmm. Yes, he's fighting for South Asians to be recognized here. But as you said, it's also taking up space in this black art form. So what, you know, that struggle, I thought it was really interesting. And I wish we could have spent a little bit more time there too, because because it is so solipsistic to say, like, this is about South Asians and where we can go, but it's not for you to decide who gets to take up space there.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, I think overall, this is a movie that has a lot of ideas, and it goes for a lot of complex ways of getting at those ideas. And I don't necessarily think it reaches or achieves all of them or mm-hmm. any of them fully. But I think the fact that they all reach a certain height in their own respective ways, to me, makes this such an interesting exercise. And this is Riz Ahmed's first co-writing credit for a feature film. And so it makes me want to see more from him, whether it's drawn from his life or not. I think that, to me, the sort of dreamlike fantastical elements are what makes me so interested in both him and the director, Bassam Tariq, because, again, this could have been such a very straightforward narrative. And I think that that takes it to a different level. And, you know, we haven't even mentioned there is this character called Gulab Mian, who's played by Jeff Mirza. And this character is kind of like a sort of spirit or figure who haunts his character or follows his character throughout the entire film. And he's dressed in sort of the traditional garb that men wear during wedding ceremonies. Mm-hmm. And of course, I had to Google that too afterwards. As I said earlier, I did find myself Googling, but I did wind up learning a lot after this movie. And I think that's, to me, something great. And I went afterwards and I read the short story Toba Texing by Sadat Hassan Manto that was published in 1955 and is referenced throughout the movie. And it just gave me a whole other perspective of what was going on in that film. But I'm curious what you think about that figure who's sort of coming and showing up throughout the film, and also just what you thought about the dreamlike or fantastical elements in general.
I mean, a lot of them did work for me because I think it made you feel like you were in this liminal space, and the character is obviously in that same space because he can't really move forward with his life. He's sort of caught in this in-between of his illness, his career, his personhood, his history, his relationship. Like, there's so much unknown for him. And the dreamlike sequences really help convey that to the viewer and help put you in a similar sort of headspace. And I liked that because it didn't feel like I was just sort of progressing through the story. It was really like took me down into that headspace with him. And I think that that symbol was so interesting because when he's thinking about fatherhood and whether he can carry on this lineage, this paternal history forward, you know, he's confronted by this image of marriage and fertility and family. And so that loaded, charged symbol gets at a lot of those questions about his manhood, his ability to procreate, his ability to sustain a relationship, to sustain a family, but also to understand his own family, I thought was really clever and really interesting. But again, it goes back to your point earlier, which I think is such an interesting question for a lot of filmmakers, is like, you know, you had to search what that meant and, you know, why mm-hmm. it was important. And so it sort of begs the question is like, yeah, how much do you explain and how much do you just leave to be interpreted and figured out by the viewer? How much work do you want people to do?
It's the eternal question. But again, I hope that people do seek this out, because I think that there was enough for me to grasp onto while watching it and then later on to discover. So I think it's definitely worth enjoying the journey and also just enjoying some really great performances too. Well, we want to know what you think about Mogul Mowgli. You can find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. And that brings us to the end of our show. Thank you so much for being here, Emil. I'm so glad we got to talk about this.
Me too. Thank you so much. It's just like nice to practice my spoken word skills. You know what I mean?
Yes. And we will see you later today for a chat about this year's Oscar nominations.